Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Because it can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says however God answers your cry, we know that he's enough.
Hey, I'm Anne, and normally here at I'm Kendra, but she is out today working on some other stuff for AFA. So we miss her today, but she is working super hard on another fun project. I just want to remind you that you're listening to Hannah's Heart. We are a show that just started talking about families that struggled with fertility and miscarriage, but we've kind of grown into just however God leads you to build your families, if that's through foster care and taking care of all different kinds of kiddos, or if it's through adoption, and or just being a mama and daddy to nieces and nephews, whatever your family looks like, just being willing to live with open arms and open hearts to whatever God has in store for you. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and really any podcast platform by searching Hannah's Heart. And as always, we encourage you to email us at hannahsheart@afa.net to send us prayer requests, show suggestions. We've even had guests talk about being on the show by sharing their testimonies through that email platform. So we look forward to hearing from you. So today, just because Kendra's not here, that doesn't mean I'm alone in the room. We have our super cool producer and a super cool producer doing video, Mr. Marty, and then we have Mark doing audio, and then we have a super special guest to me. Everybody's super today. but Brandon Smith is with us today, and I think we have a neat relationship, a little friendship that started. You would always tell me as you were our resource worker, they're like, we're not friends, you know, we got to, you know, just always be business.
My family. But, you know, we always knew how to separate.
That's right. But through, I've shared little pieces here and there of our foster care journey. And I think it was 2018, I guess, that we met when you came. I know you. I don't expect you to remember. I think it was been that long.
Wow!
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy. Yes.
Because you would have come to do our home study, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It had to. Yes, that was. You're right.
Isn't that nuts? It went by really fast.
It did.
Because when I think that we've been doing foster care that long, that seems like a very long time.
Yes.
Anything pre-COVID, I'm like, it's a long time ago.
Yes. Seems like it's just all running in together.
It does. But, okay, so Brandon Smith, we were talking about you being a resource worker, mm-hmm. but your position has changed since then. Do you mind giving us an update on what your job looks like right now?
Okay. Well, my name is Brandon Smith. I work with Mississippi Department of Child Protection Services. I am currently a recruitment specialist for the agency, and what they consist of is I go out and I spread the word for the need for foster parents in our community.
Yeah. Big job.
It is a big job. It's a lot of community outreach, dealing with the community. It's enjoyable. You get to meet a lot of different people.
Yeah.
Get a different feel of the social work field within the agency. So.
Okay. So are you still considered a social worker?
Yes. So we're all still considered as social workers there.
Okay.
We just have different roles and responsibilities, but the same mission.
Okay.
So, of course, you know, our mission is, of course, to keep children safe from abuse, neglect, and exploitation.
Okay, that's right. So do you go, where when you're doing this recruiting, where do you go?
So I do different things. I go out to community festivals. We do churches. I go speak at different churches. Sometimes we host our own events.
Okay.
We plan our own things within the community. We have partnerships with some of the churches that host some things for us. Mostly it consisted of me going out, showing the community my face and what I do, and educating them on foster care, what that is, and the need for foster parents in the community.
Yeah, because there's a very big need.
Yes, we have a huge need. Right now we have about 4,000 kids in custody. And I forgot to mention that I'm housed in Lee County. I cover 8 counties, but I'm housed in Lee County. Lee County is one of my counties, but I have 8 other counties. And of my 8 counties, Lee has the most children in custody.
Wow.
So Lee County currently has 191 children in custody. That in total with our closest neighborhood, I calculated that in with Edgewood County, we have about 300 kids together. And so that's in our area alone. You know, there's a big need for it.
Yeah. I feel like it's possibly easy for us as Christians, you know, in the Bible Belt to not think that foster care would be such a big need here. But it's literally, as children are right around our corners, no matter what kind of neighborhood you live in. There's awful, unfortunately, awful things that happen in the worst part of the neighborhoods and in the best neighborhoods. That was one thing I feel like I learned a lot as I, you know, because as a foster parent, you can get a call whenever. And we got a call one time, and it was about a house not far from our house with kids going into custody. And whenever the person that called realized that, they ended up suggesting they continue to call since we were in such close quarters with the family. But it just amazed me that, like, the story that I just heard happened down the street from me.
So that is some of the training that we do receive, you know, as social workers. We get that training, and they basically train us that no matter where you live or who you are, even us as social workers, we're one step away from being that other person that's on the side of that desk, you know. And so a life lesson that I have learned, you know, is to never compare and never judge, because you never know, you know, what kind of situation you could end up in.
Right. I feel like you always did a good job talking to me about that. Because you have to have tough conversations. I remember when you were doing our interview, when you were our resource worker, so before you had this position, and you were doing our, what do you call it, like an intake?
So we call it a home study.
A home study, yes. Okay. I was like, you literally are knowing more about me right now than my parents do. So
Hey, I tell everybody when I'm out doing my recruitment, we get all in your business.
We're all in
the business. So, hey, it's a lot, you know, but it's all information we need to know. And that information is just not us being nosy.
Right.
We take that information and we use that to determine how to place our children.
Yeah.
You know, and so if you tell me certain things happen, then we know that could possibly be a trigger for you. Then we're not going to put that child, you know, in your home. So we utilize that information. As we always say during orientation, we don't go out and find children for our families. We match our children, you know, with the that come into custody. We match them with families that we already have based on the information that we gather during those home studies. So the information is very important us to use, you know.
Of course, because, I mean, this is a big job as a foster family. You're getting children that have come out of potentially awful situations. And so you're filling in a big role. Also, you're dealing with children that don't know you. Can you imagine me as a mom for my adopted little boy now and my biological little girl? I'm not going to send her to someone's house I don't know.
Right.
And, you know, and that's what these parents are having to do. They definitely, I mean, I know each situation is so different, but to be able to put yourself in that role where this worker that you don't know just came to your house, got these children out of your house, and then took them to a family that you don't know. So that's the reason why that information that y'all get is so important.
It's important.
And then, at the time when you were asking me all the questions, I was like, are you serious?
Yes, it makes you feel a little vulnerable at first time. But, yes, all of that is confidential, you know, so we don't disclose that to anyone. It is typed in the home study, of course. but we don't share our home studies outside of our agency. And so we need that information to match our children with families.
You know? Right. Okay, so tell me about the new MDCPS. So that's Mississippi Department?
Mississippi Department of Child Protection Services. Okay.
Foster Parent Recruitment and Support Unit. What is that?
Okay, so the agency saw that we needed, you know, some footwork on the ground. And so they created the unit that I'm in. That is the Recruitment and Support Unit.
Okay.
And it is 3 supervisors and it's 7 of us across the state. And so we all cover large areas.
So that's what you were talking about earlier.
Yes.
With all the counties.
So we cover large areas and we go out and educate. And we do our best to recruit. Right now, of course, as I previously stated, we have 4,000 children in custody. Right now, we have 2,000 foster homes, you know, approximately that.
In the state of Mississippi, 2,000 foster homes.
In the state.
Wow.
And so last year, we did pretty good about getting more people to become foster parents. And so part of it is also retention, is to retain some of those foster parents after adoption or
reunification
has occurred. So we try to keep them going.
I want
to. Keep them on board, you know.
I know.
We're just waiting for you.
I know. Yes. When I told you about adoption, you're like, you're still going to foster?
Yes.
And I was like, I don't know, Brenda. I haven't gotten there yet.
Yes. Look, we try to keep it, you know, because you guys have had that experience. You can help us support our newcomers, you know, and that's what we want to see, that community effort within the foster parent community.
Right.
Keep it going, you know, so we'll have some revolving foster parents as well as gain some new ones.
Right, for sure. So what are the requirements to be a foster family in Mississippi? What does that look like?
Okay, so we have several requirements. One of them is you must be a legal resident of the state. You have to be at least 21 years or older. Legally married or legally separated, in instances that you are a relative home that wants to get licensed for a relative that we have in custody. We do have exceptions that we do for relatives if you're cohabitating or living together and not married.
What you're saying.
And so, yes, so if you were planning on being a regular foster, non-relative, let me say that, you have to be either legally married or legally single.
Okay.
Yes.
So if you've never been married before, if you're a single lady,
you can foster.
Okay. Right.
Yes.
I think a lot of people don't realize that, but I have a good friend that lives down the road from me. She is single, never been married, and a foster mom to the sweetest, cutest little chubby boy right now.
We license single people just as much as we do couples. So they are just as helpful, you know?
Yeah.
So
for sure.
As long as you have that support system needed, we can get you licensed. What did I miss? I think that was it. Be able to pass a background check.
Right, that's a definite.
Of course, we do background checks on you. And have experience with kids and be willing to be in partnership with the agency. And when I say partnership, understanding that we have different people involved in these cases. And so that means being in partnership with us, you know, through reunification or whether it's adoption. And so that requires us to work with parents and, you know, be understanding and have an open mind to things. And so you have to have that compassion for people in order to be able to do it and not judgmental, you know, because like we were talking about earlier, either one of us, in our family, it may not be us, but, you know, we could easily be sitting on the other side of that, you know, of that table at any given time. You know, things happen.
Right.
And so we just want to, you know, have that compassion and try our best to not just understand it, but to be present and mindful of situations and that they can change.
Right, for sure. That I feel like that is one thing that I definitely grew and I guess matured a lot in. After being involved in foster care and seeing, especially with our, one mom that we stay in very close contact with kids that were reunified. Mm-hmm. I feel like I've learned a lot from her. I know she actually listens to this show, so but I've learned so much from her in knowing that she was raised a whole lot differently than I was. Right. And all the chances that I even had growing up by having my parents were not wealthy at all. They worked very hard for what we had. They worked very hard to get us Christian education and all that. But like me looking back and seeing what all they had to sacrifice for me to receive that, mm-hmm. but that bettered me so much. I mean, I don't know if I'm saying this right, but I didn't realize how much more I had because of just the family I was born into,
right.
compared to other people my age, maybe even older than me,
right.
that they didn't have because of the family they were right. born into.
And you just can't see that as physical or tangible, you know, assets. You have to look at mental
yeah.
as well.
Yeah.
A lot of things, you know, are mental. You know, we have mental capacities are, you know, that a lot of people don't have or weren't taught. And so as the agency, and when you decide to become a foster parent with us, you're taking on that partnership to say, hey, we're willing to learn, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. And we're willing to make adjustments and changes or be, you know, negotiable on certain things, because everything is not going to be a constant or right. set in stone, you know. Visitations change sometimes, you know.
Sometimes,
you know, and so you have to be kind of flexible just yeah. a little bit.
I remember calling you being like, "Brandon, this doesn't make any sense at all. Have you ever heard of this happening before?" And you're like, "Yes, Miss Cockrell,
yes, it happens." And so, you know, it's understanding, just like with any aspect of life,
yeah.
you know, anything can change at any given moment, you know. We up and get sick, we call in to work, you know. Mm-hmm. So if something happens, we just need that, you know, understanding and compassion for our parents and our children, you know, because
right.
we hope that they get to go back home, you know.
Right.
And so we try to build those supports with our foster parents and our parents, which in the term we call shared parenting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we are big on that in the instance to where it becomes a support not only for the parent but for the child as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I could definitely see a big difference once we started opening up more to these kiddos' biological family, like them coming to birthday parties and baseball games and different things like that.
Yes.
How these kids ate it up. They loved the fact that they called us Aunt Ann and Uncle Will. They loved the fact that we got to eat dinner with their mom.
Yes.
And we were all at the baseball field at one time. And it about brought me to tears the first time because of just how excited that little boy was that his foster parents were there
yes.
to watch him play baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And his mom and grandmother were there too.
Those are moments that they will always cherish.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and me too.
Something someone can never take away from them, you know?
Yeah.
So they will always cherish those moments.
Yeah. Speaking as a foster parent, if you're a foster parent right now or considering it, it is hard work with the bio family sometimes, and each bio family is different.
Mm-hmm.
Some kind of hard to work with, some just thankful that you're there to take care of their kids. And so, I definitely encourage you to at least be in prayer of how you could be there to support that family and not just those children. So if someone's interested in becoming a foster parent, what do they do?
Okay, so they can call. We have a 1-800 number, and I always have to look at it because I can't remember
okay.
it by heart. And so it's 1-800-821-9157. Or they can go into their local office and ask
okay.
to speak to a licensure specialist or call in and ask to speak to a licensure specialist. If we have our MDCPS website, that is www.mdcps.ms.gov,
mm-hmm.
it has the application listed on there for a single person and two married couples.
Okay.
And so you can fill out an application there. Once you complete it, it goes to our state office and they assign it to whatever county you live in.
Okay.
Then
and
you
then
get
that's
a,
when you get a
licensure specialist
yeah.
to come out and do that lovely home study.
Yeah. And the home study, I have talked about it like it's a huge deal. It feels huge at first, but then after you go through it, it's really not that big of a deal.
It's really not that bad, but just know we do get in, as I said, we get in the business, you know. But it's all for just cause. And if you can handle just that moment of one-on-one private vulnerability, mm-hmm. Just imagine how foster kids feel.
Oh, right.
You know, if you're just vulnerable in that moment.
And you know you're in a safe place.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so our foster kids go through a lot of different hands, you know, while mm-hmm. they're in foster care. They see a judge. They see a social worker, you know.
Sometimes see police officers.
Yes. And so just imagine, you know, how vulnerable our foster kids become.
Right.
So,
that's a good point.
Yeah.
Good point. So what else would you like anyone listening to know?
I would just, like for every, you know, our listeners to, if they have any questions, to ask them, educate yourself on the matter before, you know, deciding to become a foster parent. We would love to have anybody on board that would mm-hmm. like to be. And just to remember that you were needed in the community.
Yeah.
If you feel like, you know, you want to help out in your community, this is a way to help. We train, we educate, you know, we are right there along with you every step of the way of fostering.
That's right. And I know that you are not speaking to just Christians here. I'm not speaking to just Christians here, but that's a majority of our listeners mm-hmm. probably that are listening in right now. And I just, like, as a Christian, this is your way to be the hands and feet of Jesus to these families, to these children, to the workers. Y'all, you're acting like this job is an easy job. Y'all have so much going on, Brent. I don't know how you deal with everything that you have to deal with.
It's not an easy job, but it is worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Going through the process and seeing foster parents like yourself grow, you know, and seeing children grow and connect and bond, and, you know, it's rewarding.
Yeah.
Even in my line of work, you know, I don't deal a lot one-on-one with families anymore. But seeing, you know, foster parents come in and knowing that I have some way had an impact on your mm-hmm, heart to mm-hmm. say, hey, let me go be a foster parent, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what we want. This has to be a heartfelt movement.
Yeah.
It can't be, you know, just up and decide we're going to just take in some kids, you know, just to take them in. This has to be heartfelt, and you have to be compassionate about it to do it.
For sure. Do you mind telling us about the different workers that you have? So we have the frontline workers?
Yes. And so we call them, we're all social service specialists now, but we do have those county of responsibility and county of service. They have supervisors, and we have our adoption specialists and our licensure specialists. The licensure specialists are the ones that actually come out and license the home.
Okay.
And take you through the licensure process. And so you'll see a lot of everybody involved in that aspect. Everyone except for the adoption specialists, they come in.
You don't see them those till the
end. At the end, in case the parents, you know, don't, the kids don't get to go back home to the parents.
Right.
And so, and then you have your youth court judge, you know. Youth court judges play a major part in our foster care system, because that's how they come to us. We can't take them without their permission. And so, so we have, you know, a lot of stakeholders here, but our number one stakeholders are our parents and our children.
Mm-hmm.
And we, you know, recruit in partnership with foster parents in hopes to help make things and situations better for them.
Right. Well, and I know you do a good job. Not everybody was blessed to have you as their resource worker.
Thank you.
Whenever I heard that you were moving to a different field, I was like, she did not ask me about this.
Everybody cried. I got phone calls.
Oh, my word.
Phone calls, and I still get approached, you know, hey, we miss you.
Yeah,
and I miss those moments.
Everything's about coming back.
Yeah. I'm still there. I'm just on a different side of it,
That's right. Well, you are the best. We have been blessed with some really good social workers. But we have been blessed. I was going to take it just a minute and just pray over you and other people that are in your field, because it's hard.
Much appreciated.
Yeah.
Much appreciated.
Father God, I come to you right now to just thank you so much for all the social workers, God, no matter what their other title is, they have a really, really hard job, and a job that a lot of people, me included, wouldn't feel like I would be able to do, God. And so I just pray over these special people that were called to this special line of work. I just pray over them right now, whatever they're doing, whatever case they're having to work on right now. I'm sure it's more than one, that you would just guide them in their decisions, that you would keep them safe, because sometimes they're probably not in the safest of places, Lord. I pray that you be with their families, because there's a lot that they have to give up being with their families at weird times of the day and at night, God, when they have to leave and go do their job, and we have no idea what that even is, Lord. God, I pray if we have listeners considering to become foster parents, Lord, just help this show to nudge them a little bit more to call their office or look it up online or go to the office, God, and just see what it would look like for them to be involved, God, because we are needed. Foster parents are so needed in the lives of these children and families. And as Christians, we're called to do it. No matter what it looks like, we are called to be here and fill in these gaps when needed. We love you, Father, and in your name I pray. Amen. Brandon, thanks for being here today.
Thank you.
I so enjoyed it. Thank you for listening to Hannah's Heart, and we'll see you.